It's a Monday edition of Locked On Heat. On today's show, we'll recap the Heat's games over the weekend against the Pelicans and Grizzlies and get to some team news.
And then we'll open up the mailbag and answer some of your questions, including how the rotation will change once Kelly Olynyk and Rodney Magruder are healthy. Let's get to the show.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the NBA for the Step Back and FanRack Sports, and I write for the Miami Heat's Tip Off magazine. You can find me on Twitter at WC Goldberg.
And I'm David Ramil, a credentialed NBA writer who's covered the Heat for SB Nation and AllYouCanHeat.com. I cover the league at large for FanSided and FanRack Sports. And you can follow me and my writing on Twitter at DRamil13.
The Heat went 1-1 over the weekend. They lost Friday to the Pelicans in an overtime game, and then they won Saturday against the Memphis Grizzlies in a blowout win at home versus Memphis. So we're going to talk about those games and just some takeaways. The Heat, like I said, overtime loss to the Pelicans, 124-123, and then they come back on Saturday and handle Memphis pretty easily. 115-89, they beat the Grizzlies. Look, I think as far as my key takeaways from the game, David, from both games, David, Tyler Johnson looked really good, and there was a number of players that had big impacts. I want to talk about Josh Richardson and Justice Winslow too here in a little bit, but Tyler Johnson was such an important part of last season's second half run in the way that he was able to just put up, you know, everyone. He wasn't scoring 20 points a game every night, but every once in a while he was putting up, you know, 18, 20 points somewhere in that area and kind of lifting Miami and that bench to that 30-11 record down the stretch of last season. But he hasn't quite been there this year, and he's dealt with some injuries. He had that ankle sprain earlier in the year, and he really hasn't been putting up those big games. But against New Orleans, he had 15 points, and against Memphis, he had 23. He's getting to the rim well. He went 3 of 8 on threes, which is a pretty decent percentage, and hopefully that will continue to improve. But if Tyler Johnson is back playing the way we expected him to play, in a way where he could put up between 15 and 20 points here and there, and if he's going to be able to do that, that's going to be huge for Miami in these next 20-plus games.
He's had an up and down season, no doubt about it. But I did read an interesting article over the weekend about how he had accompanied Dwayne Wade and Udonis Haslem on their way to Los Angeles for the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. And he kind of had a chance to pick their brains, and particularly Wade, who he refers to as his boss. Like, that's my boss. So they've obviously got a mentor-mentee relationship there. And, you know, one of the things that Wade explained to him was just basically to keep working, to look at what you do well and what you don't, and to remind him that he's a vital component of what Miami needs as far as his versatility on offense and the defense and energy that he brings. And for Tyler's part, he was able to look at what worked well for him before the break and kind of realize that he needed to be more aggressive. So I'm glad you brought up that point, because that's exactly what he said. It was that what he does best of all is be aggressive, create opportunities for himself and for his teammates. And it looked like that was certainly the case over the weekend. So he's taken whatever advice UD and Wade gave him to heart, and it really showed off so far. And hopefully it continues throughout the rest of the season.
Spoelstra said that of all the guys on the team, he thought Tyler Johnson needed the All-Star break the most, which I thought was pretty interesting. And he said after that Memphis game, I think, that he looked like a blur going to the rim. And he did. He looked much faster getting to the rim. He looks much healthier than he did prior to the All-Star break, and maybe there's, you know, some of that is just the fact that those shots are going in and he's being more aggressive, but he looks good. And, you know, he went to speak about that Wade and Haslem thing. He did go with them to All-Star weekend, and I was actually at the Leaning Sneaker event that Wade's sneaker, you know, affiliate put on in LA, and Tyler Johnson was there with Haslem. And look, Tyler Johnson maintained that relationship with Wade even as Wade went to Chicago and then Cleveland. And Tyler Johnson's been wearing the Way of Wade Leaning shoes since Wade's left. You know, he's maintained that relationship, and he's a part of the Leaning family, I suppose. But it is interesting that Tyler Johnson is latching onto him. We talked so much about what Wade's impact is going to be. If Dwayne Wade returning to Miami reinvigorates Tyler Johnson, the guy that Miami kind of, you know, ostensibly gave the Dwayne Wade money to, you know, when Wade left for Chicago, if he's able to reinvigorate Tyler Johnson and bring back a better Tyler Johnson, that's an addition we hadn't really, you know, considered or talked about on the show.
You know, an interesting point in that same article was the fact that I think Wade brought up how much the evolution of the Johnson & Johnson, of course, with Tyler and James both on the floor at the same time, how much that was a part of his success, both their successes last year, and that because they're not necessarily playing at the same time this season, it certainly impacted both of them. And at least in Tyler's mind, like he had a comfort level there with James that he hasn't been able to duplicate. And so that's something to consider. We tend to overlook, you know, the kind of partnership and familiarity that players can develop, you know, but there's certainly a rhythm between the two. And it's interesting to have that pointed out by a veteran like Wade.
Tyler Johnson was the main standout to me during those two games, but also just want to give out, just want to talk a little bit about Josh Richardson and Justice Winslow there, who are obviously starting alongside Tyler Johnson, as well as Goran Dragic and Hassan Whiteside in that starting unit. And they, particularly against Memphis, just harassed the Grizzlies. And you and I talked a lot about what the Heat need last week, about what the Heat need to do over these next 20-plus games to maintain and maybe improve on their playoff positioning. And one of the things we talked about was force more turnovers and create easy offense in that way. And against Memphis, Richardson and Winslow combined for 8 steals. Josh Richardson had 5. Winslow had 3. They combined for 8 steals against Memphis. A lot of them got on the break. I mean, there was one play in particular where I can't remember who they stripped it from, but Josh Richardson like knocked the ball out of one of the Grizzlies players' hands. Winslow picked it up, got credit for the steal. So you could even give Richardson the, like 6 steals and Winslow 2. But Winslow picks it up, brings out, and then takes down transition and scores at the other end. I mean, that's the sort of thing when we talk about the potential of that tandem defensively and what it could do to lead to easy buckets offensively. We got a flash of that against Memphis. And, you know, look, the Grizzlies are not a good team. They're one of the worst teams in the league this year. And so you're not going to expect that on a game-to-game basis. But if they could do it against them and they could start doing it against higher competition, better competition, that could be huge for this final stretch, you know?
You know, there's the caveat that, as you pointed out, Memphis isn't particularly good without their 3 best players. Marcus Gasol was sitting, Tyreek Evans was out, and of course Mike Conley out for the year. But, you know, Miami hasn't always had success against bad teams. So on the positive note, on the second night of a back-to-back playing at home where they, again, haven't had much success over the course of the season, it's a good win. It's a win that you want to build on, and as far as showing those positive traits and continuing to build on those, that's the foundation for success down the stretch here. And I think it's certainly a positive to see their defense turning up a notch. And again, like you said, turning defense into easy offense, which is something that we talked about last week. So hopefully that's the continued trend. You know, again, against a bad backcourt or a bad overall team against Memphis, maybe it doesn't sound like it's that significant, but it's the beginnings of something, and hopefully we can see that when they face Philadelphia on Tuesday.
So the Heat are now 2.5 games ahead of the Pistons for 8th. They're 2 games behind Philly for 7th, so that's going to be a big game on Tuesday to potentially narrow the gap for that 7th seed. We're going to talk next about some injury updates with Kelly Olynyk and Rodney Magruder. But first, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On NBA, which will be revamping its format. In addition to hosting Locked On Heat on a daily basis, David and I will be hosting Locked On NBA every Tuesday. It'll be a digestible show, just 20 to 30 minutes long, delivering the most important news, scores, and storylines of the day.
Just as Locked On Heat is your daily briefing for all things Miami Heat related, Locked On NBA is your first stop for the most important headlines and analysis from around the league, all 30 teams. Just leave us a review on iTunes and make sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting app.
So we're going to get to the mailbag later on because it's Monday. That's what we do here on Mondays. But let's talk about these injury updates first. Kelly Olynyk participated in practice Monday morning. His shoulder is still not 100%, according to reports, and his status for Tuesday's game against Philly is undetermined as of yet. Obviously, having Olynyk back would be helpful, right? It doesn't take, you know, a genius to figure that out. I wonder what role he plays when he comes back, and it's something I want to talk about in our mailbag as well. We have some questions that sort of refer to this, but you know, that Olynyk next to Whiteside hasn't quite worked, right? And Bam Adebayo has been playing so well off the bench for Miami and has a sort of chemistry with Dwayne Wade in that pick and roll that seems like it could be something that the Heat go to offensively quite a bit. But I wonder what his role is going to be. Justice Winslow's playing the 4. James Johnson's sort of coming off the bench behind Winslow. So you would think Olynyk is the backup 5, but where does that leave Bam? There's a number of things that the Heat need to figure out, but one thing Olynyk will be able to bring regardless. So he's going to get playing time. I don't know how, if it's 15 minutes, 20 minutes a game, I don't know. One thing he's going to do is help with the three-point shooting, because right now Wayne Ellington is basically Miami's only three-point shooter. Olynyk is going to help a lot, I think, in that way. And we haven't seen Olynyk play with Dwayne Wade yet, and that could be a really interesting tandem, specifically if Wade is running the point and Olynyk is playing center, right? Like a 1-5 pick-and-pop action could be really fun with those two.
Yeah, and I think that's what works best. And our post-All-Star break review of everybody on the roster, I think I mentioned that I think that's probably his best lineup is coming off the bench and playing alongside Adebayo and having James Johnson start alongside Whiteside. You know, I mean, that cuts into Winslow's minutes, unfortunately, but I think that's probably where this team is best suited, with Wade handling the ball, creating opportunities for others. Look, I mean, Dwayne Wade is no longer the superstar he was, but that doesn't change his playmaking. Like, that timing seems to be impeccable despite being with his team for just 5 games. Like, that is unbelievable to think that he's tossing lobs perfectly. He's finding guys on cuts. He's making those great reads. And it's just, I think that would benefit Olynyk as well. For a guy like that, and you know, that point about the dribble handoffs and pick and rolls on the perimeter, that's going to be amazing. Like, I mean, Dwayne can find Kelly on the perimeter there for a wide open three-pointer, and I think that's going to be a great wide open offense. So I'm hoping that's what we'll see, and I'm curious how it works out. I can see like a horn set maybe with Adebayo and Olynyk there, where if, you know, you pick your poison. If Wade's a ball handler and he draws a defender with him, he can toss the lob for the easy score or find Olynyk in the perimeter. So there's definitely a lot of
options. Been running horns too with when Olynyk's playing with Olynyk and one wing player like Ellington or Josh Richardson a lot of times. And so if you can get back to that Ellington Olynyk horn set with Wade now involved, that could be huge. And a healthy Tyler Johnson, I mean, that would also be a good set for him to play in. Rodney Magruder has spent the last few days at the Sioux Falls Skyforce, and he might be available for Tuesday's game as well, in addition to Olynyk. So he spent the last few days at the Skyforce, like I said. In the last game over the weekend, he scored 16 points on 8 of 17 shooting, and he also had 5 rebounds in Sioux Falls' win over the South Bay Lakers. So I watched the highlights. I didn't watch the game, but I went back and watched the highlights. He looked comfortable shooting off the dribble. He put the ball on the ground a couple times and attacked closeouts. I wouldn't say he was aggressive getting to the rim, but he didn't necessarily shy away from contact either, which is good. You know, you want to see him sort of be comfortable and get over that mental hurdle. So having Rodney Magruder back, look, we don't know in what capacity or what role he's going to play, but we know that Spoelstra is going to work him in and probably ease him in into things. So, you know, maybe he plays in Philly a couple minutes. If there's garbage time, maybe you get him out there. But having him back is going to it could be really big, especially if he's able to knock down threes at the rate he was shooting last season and in preseason.
Yeah, I mean, look, his drives to the rim didn't manifest until in the later part of the season, to be honest with you. So the fact that he's already brought that aspect back in limited play and against the G League is significant, I think. Look, the G League, for all the disparity in the talent level to the NBA, there's no denying that the guys in the G League work hard, and the pace of those games is very, very fast because everybody's trying to put up shots and make a noticeable effort on offense and defense, because that's how they'll stand out for scouts. So the fact that Rodney was able to fit in comfortably, I think, speaks volumes, and hopefully he'll be a big part of Miami's rotation going forward.
Right. So look, Olynyk, Magruder, we'll see when they come back. The timetable, there is still no timetable, right? But it is a positive that Olynyk is participating in full practices. Magruder is playing in games in the G League. So we'll see. I mean, obviously, you're not going to get, you know, Olynyk at 20 minutes a game right away. You're not going to get Magruder playing the role he did last season right away, if at all. But they'll be worked in here, and that's going to be a challenge for Eric Spoelstra to figure out how to work those guys in, while also, you know, trying to figure out what, you know, trying to maintain a lineup, figure out where Olynyk and Magruder play into the rotation. And we talked about this stretch that Miami started against Memphis, this 5-game homestand here. That's probably the most important, stand for the rest of the season. Miami could really do some damage here as far as elevating in the playoff standings. So it's going to be something that Spoelstra is going to have to figure out. Let's get to the mailbag next. But before we move on to that, let's go to iTunes and see if we have any new reviews. David, how's it looking?
Actually, not too bad. And we've put out the call to our listeners They responded. We wanted to see some new reviews. We're up to 7 reviews over the last week alone, so that's great. One here comes from Wes, Rebounds Matter, who writes, any Heat fan should check this out. There's nothing like watching the games, but with less and less available time, this podcast has been fantastic with helping me stay caught up with the team beyond just looking at box score numbers. These are credentialed, experienced writers, but above that, they are down-to-earth guys with personalities that shine through the sports batter. So thank you, Wes, Rebounds Matter.
So I guess I have a reputation now. Thanks for the review. iTunes reviews are a great way to support the podcast. It increases our ranking and helps other Heat fans discover the show. Leave us a 5-star review, like Wes Rebounds Matters, and you can get a shout out on the next episode. All right, let's go into this mailbag. So what we're going to do here is we're going to split this up. We're going to do one mailbag question now as we wrap up today's show, and then on Tuesday we'll get to more mailbag questions. So let's get to this first one here. Ming asks, hi, Wes and David. When everyone is back and the squad is in full health, who is going to be the odd man out? So we sort of started to talk about that a little bit, about where Magruder and Olynyk fit in when they're healthy. But let's talk about this. Because right now the Heat's starting lineup is Goran Dragic, Tyler Johnson, Josh Richardson, Winslow at the four, and then Hassan Whiteside, right? So, and then the main guys off the bench, it's Wayne Ellington, James Johnson comes in, Dwayne Wade, and then Bam Adebayo. And that's kind of your top nine. I was looking at the Heat's lineup stats yesterday. And I think you mentioned earlier that James Johnson is probably going to retake that starting role when everybody's healthy and have to start. I really think it's going to be Winslow still at the four, because James Johnson next to Whiteside has a negative net rating. Olynyk next to Whiteside has a negative net rating. Winslow next to Whiteside is the only power forward right now who has a positive net rating next to Whiteside. And for whatever reason, that lineup has tended to work. I mean, Winslow's defense, I think, being able to get out on the perimeter and switch and play the gaps well, is a benefit when he's next to Whiteside, because Whiteside doesn't really like to come out on the perimeter. I mean, we saw against Memphis, I think Deontay Davis was went off for the Grizzlies in that game because he was just draining 18-footer after 18-footer. And that's fine. Like, you let – if Deontay Davis is going to beat you, so be it. And he didn't. You know, that was Miami's strategy. But, you know, Winslow's able to sort of get around the perimeter a little bit more easily than even Olynyk or even James Johnson. So maybe that's why it works, and I still think that that's where Spoelstra's going to go. I think I actually do think the starting lineup's going to stay the same when everybody's back healthy. But if that's the case – you know, where does Olynyk fit in? I think Olynyk is a center on this roster right now. So where does Bam go? So I think the odd man out, personally, I think Rodney Magruder is not going to see a whole lot of time. And I think we're going to see Bam Adebayo's minutes decrease, which is, I think, something you said last week when we sort of looked at the second half of the season. I just think it's inevitable that, you know, the rookie Bam plays a little bit less, which is unfortunate because he's been so effective. They're going to get 48 minutes at center between those three guys, Whiteside, Olynyk, and Bam. But I think I think they're going to end up playing 10 guys, but Bam's going to see fewer minutes than he is now.
It's tough to see exactly how it shakes out, but I think the case still is strongest against Winslow, to be honest with you, because as positive as he's been on the floor, I don't think there's any denying how his offense has hurt the team on occasion. And so I think he's just too one-dimensional at this point, and that hurts Miami's chances. And so I think the rest of the options are a little bit more versatile than he is. Even a guy like Magruder, who's not exactly a staunch scorer, is probably a better offensive player at this point in his career than Winslow is, and that's a problem. And I think you're going to see I think Spoelstra is too enamored with Magruder's overall impact. And I think, as you pointed out earlier in the show, Olynyk's three-point shooting is too valuable to impact his minutes. And I know he's prone to being inconsistent, and we've seen his minutes kind of up and down throughout the course of the season when everybody was still available. So even when there were injury issues, I think we saw some minutes fluctuate for Kelly. So it's going to be difficult to kind of figure it out. Look, I mean, I don't know, to be honest with you. I'm stuck. I still think that Johnson should start. I think that's the most versatile lineup. I think it's the one with the best scoring punch, and I think it maximizes the second unit's ability. I think you can put Winslow in there as a secondary ball handler alongside Wade, and then Bam Adebayo and Olynyk could be the bigs. There's options there. Put in Magruder occasionally. That's a good defensive unit as well.
I wonder if James Johnson's not the odd man out, though. If Spoelstra decides to go with Winslow at the four, right? And there is reason for him to do that. Look, James Johnson's a better player than Winslow at this point, but it's not worked. Him and Whiteside haven't worked, and James Johnson hasn't been very good. I mean,
okay, what's the sample size, though? I mean, I hate to cut you off there, but what's the sample size?
It's as much as there was two different stretches this season when Winslow played the four, and he was starting at the four before he got hurt, and he came back, played a little bit of backup point guard, then moved it to the three for a couple games before starting at power forward again.
Yeah.
So it's been two different stretches. So it's as much as anybody. I don't have the number in front of me, but off the top of my head, it's been as much as any other sample. And look, I mean, we talked about before the All-Star break, James Johnson, he scored 22 points against Philadelphia on 8 of 10 shooting, and he scored 16 points against Toronto on 7 of 11 shooting. Okay, is James Johnson back? Is he the offensive player that he was? Well, he comes back and he goes 5 of 15 against New Orleans, and then he goes 3 of 5 against Memphis, and he only played 19 minutes against the Grizzlies. And I don't think Spoelstra liked what he saw from James Johnson in that game. But, you know, if he's not going to be effective, I wonder if he's the odd man out. I mean, if for whatever reason Spoelstra has liked Winslow at the four, if he sticks with that, and you're trying to find minutes for Olynyk and Bam, you could play Olynyk and Bam together in the second unit and not necessarily play James Johnson. We've also seen Spoelstra go with James Johnson at the three sometimes. There have been moments where he'll play really, really big when Bam is in there specifically because Bam is a little bit more mobile, you know, than Hassan Whiteside or even Olynyk. So you could do that maybe.
Johnson, could you play a lineup of Wade? I don't know who would play the two guard at that spot.
You would prefer Billy Ellington, yeah. Some shooting. Yeah,
Wade, Ellington, Johnson, Olynyk, and Adebayo.
I mean, you could. I mean, with Olynyk and Ellington, you've got some spacing there, and Bam, you know, he's got a perimeter oriented game with the screens and stuff that it could help move things around. It's just James Johnson is such a – I don't know that he's better offensively than Justice Winslow, if I'm being honest. Like, he's less efficient than Winslow. Winslow picks his spots more. I would – like, I don't know who – like, gun to my head, I don't know who I'd pick to drain a three-pointer right now from the corner, James Johnson or Winslow. Like, James Johnson's not been a good three-point shooter. So I wonder, like, if James Johnson's not going to be effective or efficient and not going to be as good defensively as Winslow – and not going to be as good offensively as Olynyk, I wonder if he's the odd man out here. I mean, Ming's right. Somebody's going to get fewer minutes here.
No doubt about it. I mean, that's the way the team is built too. It's having those minutes distributed among a wider swath of players. And I think that's a benefit here without a superstar. It's the only way this team can function at a high level. So we'll have to watch Spoelstra and his decision-making process very closely. Obviously, we don't get Magruder and Olynyk back right away, so there's still some time to figure it out on his end. Magruder has to come back from Sioux Falls and kind of practice with the team. Olynyk obviously has to do more of that. So we'll see what happens. But it's definitely something that we'll keep monitoring for our listeners.
We'll get to some more mailbag questions tomorrow, but that's all we have for today. You can send mailbag questions and ask about advertising on the show by sending an email to lockedonheat@gmail.com. Tweet your questions and comments for our recap on Tuesday night using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.